Amen. I want to talk to you today, and I promise you I will be brief. I'll just leave some stuff out. But there's I've been preaching through Romans, and for the last two or three weeks I felt the Lord deter me. So this week I was like, I'm going back to Romans 13, and this verse kept popping in my mind. And then I read this verse, and then it come up on a TV screen. I mean, it's just like the Lord kept saying, this is what I want you to speak on. So I titled this, The Lord Requests a Meeting. And it's in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10 through 20. The Lord requests a meeting. It says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purposes is the multitude your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of the fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lamb or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Folks, that's a bad verse right there. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. And even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Verse 18 is the verse that kept coming up. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, I just pray for your anointing upon your word and this speaker and upon their hearts and ears, God. I pray that they would hear the word that you have for them today. And Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, for every one of us to let change happen in our life. God, the same way, Lord, you changed these young people's lives at church camp. God, I pray, Lord, that the expectation would be high for the Spirit of God today to touch their hearts, my heart, Father, every one of us in here. God, I thank you, Lord, for your word of hope and encouragement. Lord, that you are a God of mercy and grace. God, we thank you for that. You are a God of love that love your children. So, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jonathan, you may have trouble today, or Patty's that you may have a little trouble following me. So, the last week I gave you a few steps on what you can do. And so it was from Isaiah chapter 55. Now, it's incredibly important that we know our audience, right? Who was Isaiah writing to? In Isaiah chapter 55, he was writing to Israel, but Israel was in exile. In other words, they had already messed up to the point that another nation had come in. And to Edith and Ray, it's so good to see you guys. I just now, blessing. That's my ADD sticking out. You guys pray for me. So Isaiah was writing to them after they had went into exile. And he gives them four things, really. He says, seek the Lord while he can be found. Even in exile, the Lord is telling his people, you need to be seeking me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And then he says, call upon him while he is near. So seek him and call him. And then he says, let the wicked, and I told you last week that the word wicked means twisted. And if you're an unbeliever, and even if you're a believer, we have a lot of thoughts that are twisted that God wants to straighten out. And I tell you all the time, like wicker furniture, but Treva gave me a better example. She said, the little string in a candle, what's it called? A wick, right? Why? Because it's twisted, right? So it burned a little slower. So wicked means twisted. And if you can't see this, our thoughts many times are twisted. And it takes the Word of God to come into our heart with the Spirit of God and straighten it out so that we quit seeing life through this twisted perspective, the lens in which you're looking through. He says, so let the wicked forsake his thoughts and let the unrighteous person forsake his thoughts or his ways and his thoughts. And the last thing I told you last week was let him return to the Lord and he will abundantly pardon. So that was the nation after they had fallen. But today I want to tell you who he's writing to. He's writing to the same people, but he's writing to the people before they fell, before Israel went into exile. You see, God is wonderful in the fact that he will reach out to you when you're in your sin and when you're miserable and when things, bad things have happened. But thank God for the mercy of God that says, I would rather catch you before you make the big mistakes, right? And so he writes to them and he says this, he says, hear the word of the Lord. Folks, if I could tell you anything today, I would say, hear the word of the Lord. Hear what these young people are saying. Hear this resounding word that's coming out. Hear the word of the Lord and respond to the word of the Lord. God wants to do great things for you. He says, you rulers of another Sodom. You rulers of another Gomorrah. Now, who's Sodom and Gomorrah? They're nations or cities that God had totally wiped off the map, right? And he is saying, you're just like them. What do you think that God would say to America if he could stand on this pulpit and speak to our nation? I think he would say, you rulers of another Sodom. You rulers of another Gomorrah. Folks, for us to look at America and know the history of the past and think the judgment is not coming, we're being naive. He says, hear the word of the Lord. See, God is showing them great mercy. Great mercy. See, God knows the beginning from the end. Doesn't he? He knows your tomorrow. God looks down Jay's life and he sees him in 10 years. The Bible says that our days are numbered. You may not know the number of your days, but God does. God knows exactly how close you're getting to the end. So the second thing he says is these sacrifices to me are worthless. They actually are turning my stomach. Why? Because they're rituals without repentance. How many people are coming to church because they're doing their religious duty, but it's not God? You know, over and over and over, these young people kept saying that the Lord was saying, empty me, empty me. You know, that's the example of Jesus, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, let this thought be in you. And it says, Christ emptied himself when he stepped out of heaven. Folks, before God can do much in your life, you got to get to an empty place. You're going to have to empty some things out. He said, you're sickening me coming before me with this religious activity. He says, you're going to pray and I'm not hearing you. Folks, this is dangerous ground. You know why? Because there's a lot of religion in America. There's a lot of people that's having church today that has not allowed the Holy Spirit in the door in a long time. In Revelations 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He is not talking to an individual. He's talking to a church. Boy, that's scary. I hope that we're like Moses. God, if you're not there, I don't want to be there. If you're not going to be in the service, let's cancel it. This is not a place where we're going to plant a tree in the garden. Have you heard that? That's what some churches are doing. Their activities. Oh, let's just go plant some trees in the city park. Oh, come on. Can we find something a little bit more godly than that? How about what he said? Let's take care of the widow. Don't get me excited. We got a lot of Presbyterians here, and I'm trying to be good. Not really, guys. I'll just be me, you be you. God desires our lives to conform to His standard. You hear that? God desires our lives to conform to His standards. I don't care how much you pray. If you're not willing to allow Him to change you, your prayers are sort of worthless. It's God, do something in me. Break me so that you can use me. There was a lot of religion, but no inner relationship. See, the devil doesn't care if you're religious. But when you start forming a relationship with Christ, one that will change you, I promise you, you're going to make the devil mad. He'll come after you. He says this, he says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doing before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. There's a scripture very similar to that in the New Testament in the book of James. He says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Isn't that exactly what the young people kept saying? Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Who takes the first step? You. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You simple-minded, or not, you double-minded. Verses 18 through 20 is really what I wanted us to consider today, and what I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants you to see. He says, come now, let us reason together. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever thought that the holy God that we serve says, can we talk? Hey, can we sit down and have a cup of coffee? You know, Brandy said the Spirit of the Lord spoke to her this week, and she is forming a relationship with the Holy Spirit like she's never had before. She said the Holy Spirit said, I want to be your friend. And then he said this. He said, I just want to hold your hand. Wednesday night, she's sitting at church, and she'd had a pretty rough day. And Julia comes up to her, and she said, you know, I'm not a touchy-feely person. But she said, I just feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to hold your hand. She said, this doesn't make any sense to me. And Brandy said, it makes all kinds of sense to me. Isn't that something? I think if we totally understood what the Lord desires, the Lord doesn't desire you to be religious. The Lord desires, Treva and I have a relationship. This woman loves me, crazy about me. I'm not sure why. Crazy about me. And that's what the Lord wants. Do you realize the Lord wants to talk to you? I mean, really, talk to you. It's just this inner voice that the Spirit of the Lord says, if you'll shut some things off and get quiet, I'll speak to you. I'll give you some instruction. I'll give you direction in your life. I'll show you how much I love you. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Hey, listen, He can take care of your sin problem. Buddy, have you ever felt like you're just beating your head against the wall when it comes to sin? Why can't I stop this? You know why? Because you are trying to stop this. He says, I can take care. You know what? Really what I see in this? I see you have a problem. The Holy Spirit's got the solution. And see, He is speaking very specifically in this verse. You have a sin problem, and I can help you over it. But can I just take a little bit of liberty? You got a sickness problem, He's got a healing solution. You got a financial problem, His streets are made of gold. You know, one of them kept saying, you'll give me, was that you? He said, Alex said, if you'll give me 10%, I'll give you 10%. That's biblical. The Bible says with whatever measure you give, he'll give you that measure back. Now, his measure is a little bit richer than your measure, right? But if you're willing to give God 10%, that's what he's willing to give back. But if you're willing to say, come on, baby, take it all. Take it all. Every bit of me, Jesus. I am your vessel. Come now. Let us reason together. Can you think of a better statement that you could hear from God? God saying, hey, can we talk? You've got problems. I've got solutions. Do you know there's not a problem that you'll ever face in life that God cannot handle? Say, my marriage is falling apart. You know what? He's the best marriage counselor I know. God can fix it. You know what we tend to do? We tend to wait until everything is crumbling so badly. And then we say, well, I've tried everything else. God, you got anything for me? You remember the lady with the issue of blood when she came up and touched the hem of Christ's garment? You remember there's one little piece of scripture? It says she spent everything she had looking for a solution. And she found her solution walking down the street. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. You see, folks, you can go to every counselor in the United States. You can throw as much money at things as you want to. But what you need is to touch the hem of the garment of Christ today. I'm telling you, he can fix you. You know what else I saw in this? Is that Jesus is willing to deal with the elephant in the room. I don't like those things. Do you? Buddy, if we got a problem, I'm not confrontational at all. But if I know you're mad at me, we're going to have to sit down and talk about it. I may not like it, but we got to talk. I cannot let those things go. You remember Peter? 3 times he denied Christ. After Jesus died, rose from the dead, he happened to be on the shore where Peter was at. You know what he does? He deals with that elephant in the room. He does not wait for Peter to come to him. He goes straight to the man. Hallelujah. That's a manly thing. Right? And that's the Jesus that we serve. He goes to Peter. He says, Peter, now what do you think is going through his mind? Man, I bet Peter had a hard time looking Jesus eye to eye. And Jesus looks at him, says, Peter, do you love me? Once would have been hard. 3 times. 3 times he asked him the same question. You know what he could have said? Peter, come, let's reason together. Your sin is as scarlet, but I can make you white as snow. Peter, there's a job waiting for you that nobody else can do, buddy. Are you willing to let the past go? Are you willing to let God touch you? Do you know, sin just... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to cover this well because it's really, really... Why is sin so bad? You ever thought about that? Why is sin so bad? Is God just a killjoy? Is God just saying, I don't want you to have that much fun? Not at all. You see, sin is bad because it carries a cost. I have a dear friend that for a while he was doing bad things. And after that, he was having a hard time financially. And I said, what's going on? And he said, well, I'm paying my sin debt. I've never forgot that. It's probably been 20 years ago. I'm paying my sin debt. Folks, I promise you, sin cost. The Bible says the wages of sin. Did you hear that? Sin has a wage. You see, you may think you're going to get away with it. We do think that, right? I can do this. Satan is the one that tells you that. Hey, buddy, you can do this and ain't nobody going to see you. And you know what? He's the one that exposes you. Sin has a price. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Sin costs you. And I'm afraid to tell you, it costs you a whole lot more than what you might be thinking. Sin leads to our destruction. And everybody knows, yes, we know hell is for the sinner. You know, if I continue on this sin, I'm going to go to hell. Folks, it's so much more than that. See, sin destroys you in your emotions. Sin destroys you in your relationships. Sin will kill every part of your life if you don't take care of it, and there's only one way to take care of it. A definition of sin is missing the mark. And see, God has a plan for your life. Before you were born, God knew you. Before you were born, God had a plan to do something wonderful in your life. And sin will keep you from it. Sin will get you off the path. See, I believe that the path of God is filled with blessings. As you walk on the path that God has created for you, we don't really even have to ask for the blessing. It already contains the blessing. So what does Satan do? He tries to get you off that path. So it's missing the mark. The fourth thing, and this is so important to me, especially if you're a father or a mother, sin is generational. It's just, I was not even thinking along these lines, and I'm sitting there writing these notes, and the next thing I wrote, sin is generational. I looked at that and I thought, wow. See, I said one time, 10 or 12 years ago, what one generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. We talk about family curses and things like that. And I know the Lord has brought mercy and grace into our life. But you know, many things are cultural. Your kids learn from you. Are you teaching them about righteousness? You know, you can tell your kid all day long not to lie. And then if he sees you lying to a neighbor, he'll say, well, evidently it really doesn't matter. I'm preaching better and you're looking at me right now. Can I read what Billy Graham said? He says, sin is the most serious thing that man will ever deal with. Sin is a spiritual virus that invades our whole being. It makes us morally and spiritually weak. It's a deadly disease that infects every part of us, our body, our mind, our emotions, our relationships, our motives, absolutely everything. We don't have the strength on our own to overcome its power. But thanks be to God. Right? The fifth thing is probably the most serious. Sin separates you from God. Sin brings a separation in your prayer life, in your relationship. Sin separates us from God. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to die on a cross to pay for your sin so that he could connect you and God back together. He is that bridge, right, that connects us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, you guys hear me quote this verse a lot. It says, for God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It was Isaiah who wrote, my righteousness is like filthy rags before God. Folks, we do not want to face God one day in heaven at a judgment and standing in our own righteousness. Not going to cut it. We're going to be covered in the blood of Christ. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus. Aren't you thankful? It's a gift that God gives us. You can't be good enough. You just have to ask him. He leaves these people with a promise. I love how God does that. He never leaves us broken. He always leaves us with hope. The promise is, if you'll come and reason with the Lord, if you're willing and obedient, that's a key word, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. Folks, this is Isaiah chapter 1. Last week I preached on Isaiah 55. Obviously, they were rebellious. They were devoured. Are you getting this? This man of God literally told them their future. Prophesied. If you'll follow, if you'll listen to me. Folks, I could say this very same thing to you today. If you will just listen to this little preacher, and if you'll hear the word of the Lord come out of my mouth, it says, come and reason together with God. Come and bring your sins, though they're as scarlet. God will touch your heart. But if you don't, there's another destiny that awaits every one of you. You'll be devoured by the sword, is what he told them. You'll be devoured by sin. You are nothing more than a target of Satan. The Bible says in John 10:10, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. Come, let us reason together. Come, let the Holy Spirit talk to you today. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, and I'm closing. But if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from a few of our sins. Oh, aren't you thankful that word's all? Cleanses us from all of our sin. Folks, church people, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But church people, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hear the word of the Lord. Folks, this is not the message I wanted to preach to you. This is the message the Holy Spirit wanted you to hear. Would you stand with me? Proverbs 28:18 says this, He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes this, I can't read my writing, will find compassion. David said, when I tried to hide my sin, my bones waxed within me. But when I confessed them, I felt the mercy and grace of God. Would you just bow your head, close your eyes, every eye in here, would you just close them? It's possible today that you do not know Jesus as your Savior. And I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, let's take care of that today. Come on, listen to me. Come, let us reason together. I want to do great things in your life, and it starts with salvation. Are you here today? Then say, Pastor, that's me. Just lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Pastor, remember me in prayer, because I need the Lord to wash some sin out of my heart. I need to make sure that He's Lord of my life. Amen. See your hand, brother. How about the rest of you? I know that in church, we just don't like to confess sin, do we? It's just awkward. I'm supposed to be somebody. Folks, what are you carrying today in your heart? Do you need the Lord to forgive you of some things? I'm going to ask you, if you're in this building, you are in this building. And you say, Pastor, I feel like I have come together with the Holy Spirit today. And there's some things that I want to confess to Him. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Praise the Lord. Got about 20 hands. There should be probably 140 hands. Folks, every one of us have sin in our hearts. Every one of us. Don't conceal it. Confess it. I want to pray, but I want you to pray with me. Would you? Father God, I come before you and I have shared the message that the Holy Spirit put on my heart. Over and over and over, Lord, you kept speaking these words to me. Come, let us reason together. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God of mercy and you are a God of grace. And you are a God that wants to change the trajectory of our life. God, you know the bridge is out in a few miles down the road, and you're throwing out a lifeline today to many people. And Lord, I pray, God, that they would hear you, that they would see the mercy and the love of God today. God, we confess that we have messed up. Father, we're hard-headed people. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. Cleanse our heart and cleanse our minds. Lord, start a new work in us. Even in the old us, God. Lord, we're still dealing with this stinking flesh. Lord, this flesh is, boy, it seems like it's got a mind of its own. Father, I'm just asking you. With all that's within me, I want to forsake those twisted thoughts. I want to forsake, Lord, those bad ways. I want to serve you with all my heart. God, I just want to see what you can do with me. I give you my all. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Now just let the Holy Ghost talk to you for a second. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. This is David's prayer. Let's sing it one more time.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
I just love how God tells us, come and let us reason together. Because it doesn't matter if you've been in his church for 50 years or 50 seconds. He just wants to have a conversation. That's all it takes. So you don't have to learn special words or go to a special building or do any special thing. He just wants to have a conversation. So he's just so wonderful, isn't he? Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you, give you peace. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.